Blog Talk Radio.
Tell me not that I'm a dreamer, for the things I feel and see, or that nothing can be accomplished from the things I wish to be. Tell me not that I'm fanatic, for the things I feel inside, they are flowers of oppression, born of pain I cannot hide. Do not look upon my actions as the acts of one insane, when I take up modern weapons to avenge my father's name. Let your eyes scan all the ghettos through the books of history, then you'll understand this feeling and just how it came to be. Sure, I must admit I'm bitter for the precious blood I've bled, and for the years of cruel oppression that you've heaped upon my head, for the rape of my grandmother and the mulattoes that you have left, for the many, 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 many years of slavery with its legacy of death. Tell me not that I'm a dreamer. Oh no, it's you that cannot see. I'm just another victim of a cruel reality. What manner of man is this I ask, who roams the seven seas, who graces the skies of birds of on and wanders where he please, who walks into another's home and takes his property, then slays the man, his wife and child, in the name of liberty? What manner of beast is this, I ask, who drops the napalm from the skies, then send my sons away to war, to maim and kill and die? What manner of man is this, I ask, who arrogantly displays his might? What manner of man is this, my friend? Needless to say, he's white. So take your hands off of me, white folks. I've done you no wrong. I'm only guilty of making you strong. I've built all of your cities, and I've worked in your mines. I've fought to protect you many a time. It was I who taught you what it is to be brave. I had great civilizations when you lived in caves. I taught you what soap was when you dyed yourself blue. I taught you planting and harvesting too. I showed you what clothes were to cover your backs when you were in wolf skins and running in packs. When you knew nothing of the barrier of sound, it was I who taught you that this planet was round. In Palermo, Sicily, and Italy, and Spain, I left monuments of my grandeur and fame. And during your dark ages, when your people were blind, I built universities to enlighten your kind. When your homeland was weak and your people were poor, it was I who brought you to America's shore. While you did not even know how to survive, I showed you medicine to keep you alive. How earnest you seemed, how well you did learn, how vile the reward I received in return. But time is on my side. I'm sure you must know that the day will arrive when you'll reap what you sow. For I gave you religion, and you know it's a fact that the Christ and the Buddha and Muhammad were black. I taught you to dance, and I taught you to sing. You repaid me with treachery, with slavery and chains. So don't touch me, whitey, and don't look surprised. No, I'm no longer fooled by your tricks and your lies. I'm aware of your game and of your history, and I'm aware of the Judas that you have been to me. So watch out for me, white folks. It's a matter of time. I'll soon be together. Then vengeance is mine.
All right, where did we leave off yesterday? What do y'all remember from yesterday's class?
What makes it
let's go back to Genesis chapter 10, verse 32. And we are doing block talk, so y'all got to speak up so it can be heard. All right, so really, after the flood, that all mankind came out of one of the three sons of Noah, either Shem, Ham, or Japheth. We even know scientifically that the scientists will say that there's three classifications of mankind. They'll say Negroid, Mongoloid, or Caucasoid. That's them trying to hide the fact that of the three classifications of mankind, according to the Bible, which proves that the Bible is correct, there are only three classifications of men on the planet Earth. Either you come from Shem, meaning Shemitic, Ham, Hamitic, or Japheth, Japhetic. All right, but they try and just, again, try to use the wisdom of this world, hide the fact that the Bible is true, but you still only have three classifications of men. And then what they try and do is the way that this world comes up with Negroid, Caucasoid, and Mongoloid is, and this is where we're going to get into some of this, sort of says for some of this also. The descendants of Japheth wind up settling what today is known as Europe. That wasn't Caucasians. The original lands that the sons of Japheth actually settled, known as Europe. That's where they come up with the Caucasoid. The Negroid, they associate that with Ham, where Ham settled, which is basically Africa. Africa and parts of the Middle East. And then Shemitic is where they come up with Mongoloid, trying to go all the way back to stretch all the way over to Asia and Asia Minor. But we know that after the flood, Noah's three sons populated the whole entire earth. All right, after the flood. So read that one more time, Zion.
These are the families of the sons of Noah after the generation and their nation. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood.
Right, so that by these were all the nations of the earth divided after the flood. So knowing that they all came from Noah, in the beginning, what would their language be? Would they not have all the same language? Yeah, they all had the same language. It's the language that was given to Adam. Real quick, let's go to Genesis chapter, was it chapter 3? Give me a second, son. I'm be able to make that good. That's, if you got to read it.
Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4. These are the generation of the heaven and of the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord made the earth and heaven.
Okay.
Verse 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. And there was nothing man to till the ground.
So before the flood, was it necessary for plowing? Was it necessary to have to get going and farm? No, before the flood, it was not necessary. That's not what was done. Right? That is not what was done. I'll let that go. I'll get to that later. And it didn't rain. All right. So before the flood, there was no rain. That's why the flood was such a historic and monumental event, because that's the first time it must have had to rain. And since man was put on the earth, that was the first time it ever rained, and that was the flood that destroyed everything except for Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, their wives, and the clean animals by sevens and the unclean animals by twos. Let's keep reading.
Verse 6. But there was nothing on the earth, and the water is the whole face of the ground. And the Lord drops forth man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his mouth, his nostrils, the breath of life. And then came a living soul.
I'm not going to get into that. Go ahead.
And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And then he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God grow and tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
All right, Genesis verse 19. I don't want to go through all that. I want to get to the point, but I want to get to verse 19.
Genesis 2, verse 19. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever out of all every creature, that was the name thereof. All
right, so this language actually started with Adam. And Adam named every living thing that there is. That was part of his job. Dominance. Having rulership over everything, he also named everything. So this language that got passed all the way down to Noah. All right, this was Genesis chapter 5, verse 1.
Genesis 5, verse 1. Book of generations of Adam. And the day that God created man, and the language of God made to him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam.
All right, so we're dealing with this Adam. There's other particulars we can go into. But those things are not going to add to this class that we're going to do right now. So from Adam, reading on.
They were created. And Adam lived 130 years and began to suffer in his own likeness. After his age,
So we're seeing that we've been over this before, so I'm just going to touch on it real briefly. We know that from Adam, there was a chosen bloodline. There was a chosen seed. There was a chosen lineage going from Adam to Seth, going all the way down to, let's get to now verse 31.
All
right, so we're saying that there was a direct bloodline or descendants coming from Adam all the way down to Noah. All right, then we know from Noah, we come into the flood, but then all living creatures, all humans on the planet of time die except for Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Then we know from Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the whole entire planet was repopulated from these three men. Are we good on this so far? All right, so that they just now going back to now Genesis 10:32. So these are the families of the sons of Noah. So we have a bridge all the way from Adam, and Adam named everything. So the language that Adam started, whatever Adam named everything, that's what it was called. That was his name, all right? Coming all the way down to now Noah. Now, Noah has three sons. These three sons repopulate the whole earth, and we'll finish it.
After their generation, and their nations, and by these were the nations,
so by Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, this were all the nations of the earth were divided after the flood. Why not just chapter 11, verse 1? And am I going too fast for you to take notes?
And it came to pass.
There's one.
And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech.
So what was this language and speech that the whole earth was of? Where did they get this language from? Right, it was the same language that Adam spoke. All right? It was the same language that Adam spoke, that everybody spoke at this particular time. Reading on.
As they journeyed from the east, out a plane and land the ship tomorrow. And they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to.
Now, I'm going to pull my mind into this a little bit. We know that Noah's Ark settled on the mountains of Ararat. Where's Ararat at? Since you seem to be the geographer or the land-based. What do you call that person? Cartographer? And then get your Bible dictionary. Look up Ararat and look up Shinar. A-R-A.
Modern day Turkey. It wasn't called Turkey back then, but I think it was Asia Minor back then.
Real quick, let's go to Genesis chapter 8, verse 4. Well, we're looking at these definitions up. Genesis chapter 8, verse 4. Service 1.
And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the wall, and the waters were swayed.
The phase.
The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped and the rain from heaven.
So y'all do realize that when it did rain, the water was not only coming from the above, it was also coming from beneath. That it wasn't like you were going to tread water and I'm going to survive. That, you know, I'm a good swimmer, so I can make it. No, you have water literally being forced from the windows of heaven above, and water was coming from beneath. There was no escape. If you were on that ark, you forget about it. You might have, whatever ships they already had built, whatever floating craft they already had, if you weren't on this ark, you forget about it. You were not going to survive.
Right.
It's coming from the bottom and from the top. Reading on. What verse are you in? Where are we at exactly? Genesis chapter 8, verse 3. Go ahead.
And the water returned and the end of the 150 days, the water was tainted. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat.
Right, so it says the ark rested where? Ararat. So we have the Bible dictionary. Where's Ararat?
Ararat.
Mountainous.
That's complicated. What you got?
Mount Ararat is a snow-capped and former compound volcano in the extreme east of Turkey.
All right, cool. So the ark rested in the mountains of modern-day Turkey, right? And which definition are you? Which dictionary are you using for that?
I just went to
Google. Cool.
This is a high mountain range. These mountains are higher than the Rockies, 16,000, 17,000 feet.
So, going to tell you about it. What are those mountains?
13,000 feet. The summit of the road that we're on is almost 11,000 when you get up to
So then these mountains of Ararat, you said they're at 17?
Yeah.
So another
17. The peak of it is actually 16,800 feet, so just below 17,000.
So another 3,000 feet, 4,000 feet? Damn.
Yeah, that's pretty
high. Now, I guess for the ark to rest upon it has to be. Right. So we have monolith in eastern Turkey, the land of Shinar. Anybody find that?
Shinar?
Yeah.
The people who in the Hebrew Bible.
Okay. So the land of Shinar is where?
In the southern region.
The the southern region of Mesopotamia. Now let's look up Mesopotamia.
It occupies the area of Iraq, parts of Iran, Syria,
Middle East, basically, Middle Eastern country.
Okay. Let's say what, Iraq? Or, you know, Babylon. Let's just make this easy. Modern-day Babylon. Can we look that up?
Modern-day Babylon.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Can we do a Google search then, the distance from Mount Ararat to Babylon? That, I like that. I like it. Where we at? You like, got it?
Via car, it's about.
Okay. So it's quite a distance there. It's quite a distance. They've traveled now from the mountains of Ararat. They've traveled this 1,500 kilometers. What's that in miles, just for our English Western mile?
Roughly about 1,100.
Okay, about 1,100 miles. So they're traveling from, now what we don't have is the time, how long it took to travel from Mount Ararat all the way to Babylon, and that's by car. Okay. But there's no saying that they walked straight from. But they were coming, they were, obviously there was a lot of multiplying, a lot of sex to populate. It's not just people. All right, so there was a lot of this going on. Okay, a lot of this type of thing going on. To the land of Shinar, Babylon, and I'm just trying to give you a kind of a mental picture. To put this in some perspective, because that's one thing a lot of teachers don't do, because they don't really have that, they don't look at that, to put some reality to these scenarios of what was going on and what was happening. All right, so for all these thousands of people to finally get to land of Shinar, it took some time. All right, it took some time. So where we at right now? In the reading, where we at? All right, so let's pick back up there. Is anybody, are we all on the same page right now as far as the reading, as far as and the understanding? Right now, I'm just curious. Where's everybody's understanding at? It's not that it's the text, whatever. I'm just curious.
Babylon,
right.
I do have a question. Where does Shinar come in? I guess I'm going by
name. Genesis 8 and 3, right? No. I'm sorry. Genesis 11 and 1. Or verse 2. Right. Now, what's interesting about this is, even in humanities classes or your world history classes, social studies, they tell you that civilization started in the Fertile Crescent. It's from there that people spread out from that point there, which is again kind of ironic that here the Bible is saying that they traveled from Ararat to Shinar, and as we're going to read by the Tower of Babel, that they all got scattered from that point. What have you? So it's funny how this, I guess, ironic that they'll say this was civilization started, and then everybody spread out from this point. That matches the Bible. That matches the. I'm sorry. Well, that's what they were trying to take you back to. It was cave people, whatever, crow, whatever.
Yeah.
Let them give their whatever wisdom. But, again, just for it to match to show that civilization did spread from the Fertile Crescent, Babylon, goes with what they're trying to teach in humanities classes. Again, and they want to change it and try to make themselves seem more smart, try to make themselves seem more educated. Right, which is what happens to be where Shinar is, happens to be where Babylon is, happens to be where the Tower of Babel is. That's where everybody got scattered. So let them tell it. And until we evolved upon the Caucasians and the Greeks, where now civilization really started, because that's when wisdom just exploded on the earth, and philosophy and geometry and everything just started with white people.
From the hot desert sun.
Right.
It turned us black.
And then they went up to the mountains, to a cooler region, and that's where they lost their pigment. Because in the cooler regions, all the snow, you don't need melanin. And that's why they, after the millions and millions and millions of years, they mutated to having. Well, I don't know how they put that out, because they like to say Adam was white. So I guess they started white, they let them tell it. And then I guess everybody else mutated to have melanin, I guess.
Yeah, melanin.
That's like the Greeks tell it. That's like the white Greeks tell their mythology. So they shit. So we're the mutants. And people the Middle East period, Arabs, East Indians, or what have you. Makes sense in what way? If they listen,
it's easy to fool somebody with that. It's easy to make people believe it.
That does make sense, you know. Right?
Mutations and everything. Right, right.
I can see that.
It's like a theory of evolution.
Yeah, even though the Adam was made from the dust of the earth, and we know the dust of the earth, there is no Caucasian colored earth anywhere on the planet. That's not Caucasian. Again, your paper's white. That wall's got a shade of white. You never see no earth or no human that color. White sands of Mexico, where they exposed the first nuclear bomb, right?
Well, North. It wasn't there. I thought that's what it was. That's actually
the same thing. The same thing that Black Wall's made out of. You've never seen a human that color, and you've never seen a black person black again. But that's them just trying to. Yes. Never seen nobody. It's not going to happen. All right? But getting back down to Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. Where's everybody at right now? I'm just curious. Where's everybody's mind at right now?
Okay.
Right, and this, which arc? I'm just curious right now. Right, not Moses' arc. That's something totally different. This is Noah's arc. The boat. Some people might. I'm just trying to make sure. All right?
Okay, so Noah's Ark in Mount Ararat. Mm-hmm. There is the family where we were at, over to a plain in Shinar. Shinar, that's when it starts going all the way up into the area which in modern day would be Babylon, but today it actually called it.
Well, Babylon is like a city in Iraq.
Right.
Albuquerque is a city in New Mexico.
Right. So there was a region.
Well, the place is going to be called Babylon.
Right.
spread out.
Spread out after the Tower of Babel, but as actual civilization started from when the split happened at Tower of Babel to split off, considered civilization splitting.
Well, this is where Esau and his school, we call it civilization. Cool. Genesis 11 and 1.
Genesis chapter 11 and verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech.
And just out of curiosity, where did this language come from? Who to start with?
Adam.
Right, it started with Adam. Right, it went all the way down to Noah. Obviously went to Noah and his three sons. So what was Noah's three sons, obviously speaking? Or it's not Hebrew yet. Right, that language that Adam spoke. And then they all had that same language. All right? Now, a little history, Hebrew lesson. Because before it was named Hebrew, what we call that is, this way you're writing your notes, the Lashawan Kodash. The Lashawan Kodash. And Lashawan means is tongue. Kodash is holy. So it's the holy tongue.
Lashawan. L-A-S-H-A-W-A-N. Kodash, Q-A-B-A-S-H.
Y'all might hear the word Kodash, which is the root word of Kodashaya, just for trivia. Right. So it was. So before it was named Hebrew, it was the holy tongue. It is the same tongue, same language that Adam spoke from the very beginning. Are we good on this so far? Okay. Reading on. Where was reading?
In the land of Shinar, broken. And they said one to another, go to, let us make bread and burn it above. And they had brick for stone and slime as they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city at the top, whose top may reach up to heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad on the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down.
What the reasoning there for my kid, like, put the powers in the dark, but why would that sound wrong? I mean, the general results.
What was the purpose of the rainbow? What was the purpose of the rainbow?
The rainbow.
Hold on. Let me say that. Go to Genesis chapter 6, and let's start at verse 1.
Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply, face the earth.
Now, this is before the flood. What we're reading about right now is before the flood. The reason we're going to go back here is, what was the mentality of people that the Most had to bring the flood in the first place? That he had to destroy everything in the first place. Reading on.
And the daughters were born of seven. The sons of God and the daughters said that they were fair. They took them wives of all which they choose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always drive the man.
Now, this is where, like I said, we can make this a whole class. Keep reading. Let me just ask the question.
And the Lord said, my spirit shall not force the prophet. They are all. For that he holds
to go here. We've got to go here. And the sons of God. Let's go to, I guess we had to get two scriptures. Let's go to Luke chapter 3. Just to kill this, but not even kill. Here's my understanding about when it says the sons of God, what that means. Because that religion, a white man tell you, that's angels came down and started fucking women on some Greek mythology type of bullshit, which is a straight fucking lie. Which is straight. Yeah. Let's go to Luke chapter 3. Going straight to the point, start of verse 38.
Which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God.
So what was Adam?
A son of God.
Okay. Adam is the son of God. Are we good at this so far? Now let's get Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 again. Is that them plural?
Oh.
Yeah, male and female created he them. Is the pronoun them plural? More than one, right? And these are males and females. Read. And bless them. Go ahead. And call what? So was there not a nation of people called Adam, as well as a man named Adam? So when it says the sons of God, if we know from Luke chapter 3, verse 38, that Adam is known as the son of God. So the nation of Adam will be known as what then?
Nation of God. The sons of God.
Are y'all seeing that? He should have it because he's been in this for a long time. Are y'all seeing this connect? That the sons of God is talking about who? The nation of Adam. All right, so this nation of Adam are the sons of God. Now, going back to Adam, the actual man Adam, did the Most High have Adam marry just any woman he found? Who did he have Adam marry? And who was Eve? What was said about Eve specifically? Read it. No, not that part. About Eve specifically. Does everybody have Genesis chapter 2, verse 2? Is everybody there?
Okay.
I don't get it.
Just see the Lord.
Above that. Okay. So 18.
God said, it's not good that man
should be alone. Which man is he talking about, y'all?
Adam.
Adam. So it's not good that, now this ain't talking about the nation of Adam here. This part is talking about that particular man, Adam. It's not good that man should be alone. That this man again being Adam. Read. I will make him a help. That is what? What does that mean, y'all?
Suitable. Like him. Suitable help for him.
You're not wrong, Kyle. To catch everybody else up, what does it mean to be a help meet? Let's go to Toby. Hold on, where we at in Genesis? Toby chapter 8, verse 6.
Toby chapter 8, verse 6. God made his Adam and gave it to Eve, his wife, for a helper, and said,
for a helper? So the woman was created to be a what?
A helper.
A helper, or let me say more specific. A wife is created to be a what?
A helper.
A helper and a what?
A stay.
A stay. A stay is a defense, really. She's there to be your defense. She's there to be your support. What's a cane used for? Why else would I use a cane? If you need this type of help, you have this support. You can lean on this to help you in what you have going on. This is what a true wife is supposed to be. Not just somebody you just drop a seed in and have a sex with or whatever. She's supposed to be a helper. A wife is going to help you. She's going to be a stay. She's going to be a defense. That's what a true wife is supposed to be. Reading on. I'm still with Toby.
But then came mankind. Thou hast said, it is not good that man should be alone.
So it's not good that man should be alone, but it's just talking about just sexual. No, it's talking about it's not good that a man doesn't have help. Y'all understanding this? That for the job that we have to do for the Most High, you should have a help. Too many Israelites think this about, I need someone from a dickhead. I need to fuck. I need to pop seed. I need to get brain, whatever the fuck you need to take it to. That is not the purpose of a wife. The wife is supposed to be a helper for you so you can be freed up to do the work of the Most High. This is going to fuck a lot of Israelites up because they don't really study. The work of the Most High ain't you take care of a woman. It's up to you. That's what the white man has put out there. That a man is supposed to work and only take care of his wife. That is not what the scripture says. That is not from the very beginning how the Most High established things. She's supposed to help you or free you up to do the work of the Most High, not become the work of the Most High. That's, you can't find that nowhere in the scripture. I'm going to just be honest. That's the white man's total teaching, that a man takes care of his family. But then they make sure that as far as our people, we don't work. They keep us unemployed. They keep us giving of welfare, of college degrees, all that type of stuff. That now the black woman, especially the black woman in particular, doesn't need a man. I ain't going to get my own money. I'm going to get my own house. I ain't going to get my own whatever, so I don't need you. And that's just to make us feel more inferior with having. A wife ain't supposed to be like that. A wife is supposed to be a helper to free you to do the work of the Most High, not distract you from the work of the Most High. Reading on, where are we at in Toby?
Let us
make a what?
Like unto
himself. So for Adam, it just couldn't be any old type of woman. It had to be an aid like unto himself. Go ahead.
I take not this, my sister, but...
Whoa, say that again?
I take not this, my sister.
So it's not about just getting a woman for what?
For love.
For just like a pop rocks. Just so I can just pop bottles or pop off or what have you. If that's what you're looking for, you're not going to get a wife. You're going to get somebody that you can't trust. You don't know if she's fucking somebody else. You don't know what the fuck she's doing. You always got to be worried about where she's at, what she's doing, who she with, who's talking to her, because they might take her, because I took her from some other dumb nigga, so I'm shit. And now some other nigga named Rodney is now going to come and take her because he got a bigger dick, so I'm just worried about how big my dick is. Can I freak her right? Can I really turn her out and what have you, so nobody kills my woman? If we went after things where the Most High wanted things done, you'd be looking for this woman who's trying to help you, free you up for what you got going on to do the work in the Most High. If she ain't trying to help you do the work in the Most High, that's not a wife. That is not the woman the Most High sent to help you. She's going to help you be freed up to do his work. So what else was someone to get was Mary. How does that go? It's if I can't find it, we can move on. But thou shouldst marry.
Hear me, O my brother, you shall give him to wife and make vow not reckon spirit. For this same night shall she give in marriage.
Hold on, one second. That's close. It's in the pocket. All right, I'm gonna leave it alone for now because it's too far to point. So going back now, or keep reading. This is like Genesis chapter 2. You know what I was reading?
Yeah. Genesis chapter 2, verse 19. And out of the ground bore God on every beast of the field and every fowl of the air. He brought them unto Adam.
No. We'll deal with the one of my bone flesh, my flesh, with Eve. I'll keep reading. Just keep reading. Keep reading.
Brought them unto Adam to see what he was called. And also, Adam called every living creature. That was the name of the Lord. And Adam gave names to all cattle, fowl, deer, every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a healthy for him.
So they want to find the proper aid, the proper support for Adam. There was already millions of women. There was already millions of men, but they wasn't finding the proper one for Adam. Reading on.
And Lord God caused peace to all of our Adam. Peace with us. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh and thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made him woman.
Now, they were having, religious people were having believed that this dude Adam, he was just walking the earth by himself, and all these different animals and all this nature and everything, running around butt naked, named everything, and then God said, man, it's not good that you should be alone. Now, I'm going to have you sniff this, whatever, have you go to sleep. I'm going to commit surgery. I'm going to open your flesh up. Even though I formed you from the dust of the ground, I need to now go inside of you, break a rib off, and I'm going to form a female. Now, that was true. That means females should have one, or males should have one less rib than
a female, right?
We know that's not true. Right, Shar? In studying the physiology of we all have the same amount of ribs, right? Given now, we need some tension breakers.
You know how they say that females can't decide what to eat, because last time a bitch decided what she wanted to eat, she was the whole world.
Right.
And then they talk about woman was like, got to kick out the garden. All the folks with men have Adam's up to their mind. Talking about a woman and Adam's.
People have nothing. Because people do not understand the Bible, because the Most High kept his understanding closed until this time, that's all they can come up with, is stuff like that. But just in practical matters, that means we should be able to count that men have one less rib than women. We know that's bullshit. We know that's false. Exactly. Because he took one rib, so. Yeah.
If that's the case, right? That's the whole soulmate thing, like, oh, this is my person, all that. But if a woman is born from that sense, from the rib of man, does that mean that, like, so if they did have one less rib, that means that the women must be that one particular woman who's in the way.
Right.
That one particular man
only thing you ever supposed to do is because
that we should be able to match that.
What
your extra rib should fit right here perfectly. And this is how we know that we're supposed to be together. Right, it's a perfect fit. When a woman gives up her virginity, that's a blood contract. And she is only supposed to be with the man who takes her virginity, that is supposed to be her husband. According to how we did things. And to be with somebody else that didn't, no, now you commit adultery. So, and that's why there's the ritual was about the tokens of virginity, that when you, with the contract already being established with her parents, particularly her father, that it was known, you're going to marry my daughter. It's known that it's a contract already set up, there's a dowry that's already been established or what have you, that now this is going to be done. There was a party, a festival, a feast, we threw it out there, and then the wedding chamber was set up by the parents, particularly the mother, and they had that sheet put on the bed. You took her virginity, then the next day the mother would come and collect that sheet. So that was proof that when you married this man's daughter, she was a virgin. And that's what I was all about, because if you ever came back and said, man, she's a hoe, fuck this bitch, I don't want to be with her no more, she's a trick. Well, hold up. You bring up an evil report against this a daughter of Zion. And then the parents can come and show, but here's the token of virginity, that when he took her virginity, she was pure. She ain't been with nobody else. He took that from her. And that's when we go through the process of whooping his ass, taking money from him. Like, you better not ever mistreat her. So the marriage was very important. The Most High didn't play with that. And that's why a woman is like, are you sure? Because it's painful. You breaking that hymen. You have plenty of chances to stop. If this is not what you really want to do, if you don't love him, don't do it. And then if you look at the word consummate, the word consummate doesn't mean begin the marriage. It means to complete the marriage. The connection between these two is already so intimate and so tight. The only thing she can do now is physically allow this man to actually now be inside of her. He's already there mentally, spiritually. I mean, he's consumed everything about her. All she can do in being submissive now is literally let this man physically be inside her body. So blood covenant, you know, broke the hymen, and now I'm physically inside of you. That was something that Musa took very serious. That was not to be played with. We fucked it off. Literally, we fucked it off. But let's complete Genesis chapter 2 and what verse are we in? Yeah. Whatever verse we left off in it, pick up that.
As a prayer, which the Lord
called. Okay, start at 21.
Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. As the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh, and said, thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto Adam, unto man. And Adam said, this is the new now bone of my bone, and flesh of my blood. And he shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man.
So now, let's use the Bible to interpret and break down the Bible. This is what people don't do. What does it mean to be bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh? What does it actually mean? Y'all might have been over before. Just go over it again real quick. Right now, let's go to Genesis chapter 29 and verse 14. But Genesis chapter 29, and we'll start at verse 10. Actually, hold on. Chapter 28. Let's start at verse 6. Yeah.
Genesis 28, verse 6.
Hold on, let me see. Start at verse 1.
Genesis 28, verse 1. And Isaac called Jacob, and blessed him, and charged him, and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan.
Now, we didn't finish the reading of the story in Genesis chapter 6, which we're going to get back to. But we're going to see that as we were reading in Genesis chapter 6, it said that the sons of God took the daughters of men and started having children with them. That instead of staying within your own family or your own people, that he was marrying outside and now becoming influenced by the outside influences. And now that's where it caused the whole earth to get corrupt. It caused the whole earth to go get fucked up because now, well, let's keep reading. So Isaac charged Jacob, don't marry one of these Hamite women. Don't do it. Go ahead.
All right.
Yeah, Padan Aram.
Thy mother's fault.
So where is Isaac sending Jacob to? To Padan Aram, which is the country. But who's in this country? So that will make what relation then to Jacob?
His
grandfather. Goes back to our people. Right? Esau would have you believe that incest is if you have sex with your cousins. That's totally incorrect. Incest would be you have sex with a sister. Say, for example, a sister. If Ibar and Barack and Maya fell in love and want to get married, that can happen. They're still brothers because I'm still their father. That can happen. But if it's a say you guys have a your uncle Angel, right? That's why. Let's say one of y'all you wouldn't marry one of his daughter Trisaki. Biblically, that wouldn't be wrong. That's your cousin. That wouldn't be wrong.
Societal-wise,
it'd be wrong. That's what they would say because they actually married within, brother and sisters, father, daughter, mother, son. That's off. But to keep it within the family as far as a cousin, you won't say anything wrong with that because obviously that's what's going on. That's how we repopulated. We kept it in the family. Okay. Let's keep reading wherever we were at, where we're reading.
My mother's brother.
So if it's my mother's brother, what would that make Laban? That would make Laban what?
Oh, Laban is uncle, my bad. So I'm thinking about the daughters. The daughters would be present. You're saying Laban. Laban would be daughter.
Right. So that would make his daughters what relation to Jacob? Reading on.
Verse 3. And God Almighty blessed thee, and made thee fruitful, and multiply, that thou mayest be multitude of people, and give thee the blessings of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which the Most High gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram. unto Laban, son of Beth, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob, and Esau's mother.
Right. So who was Bethuel?